Well, let's sing the song on the screen that will help us prepare our minds for what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, let's sing. Anywhere with Jesus. You know, this is one of my favorite songs in the book. And I have known this from birth, nearly. I guess I heard it long before I realized what I was listening to in church with my mother many years ago. Very simple song. Very straight to the point song, because it reminds us of Jesus' presence in our lives. You know, this song is one that can give courage to the faint-hearted. It is a song that can inspire us to greater service, knowing that Jesus is with us. This hymn identifies several times the fact that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is with us, regardless of where we are, regardless of what we do, we know that Jesus is with us. In fact, this morning our task will be to talk about the many places that this song mentions about where Jesus is when we are there. And I hope that by the time that we finish this study, we will indeed come to the conclusion that Jesus is anywhere and everywhere that we are in life. First of all, let's look at the first verse. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, many joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Now, you know, there's conditions to that verse, and what a beautiful verse it is. We know that we can have safety with Jesus. But in order to go safely with him anywhere, we must allow Jesus to lead us each step of our way. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the life, the light of life. You know, when we follow someone, we just naturally become a disciple. You know, Jesus' disciples did not find the word disciple. There have been many disciples long before Jesus came to the earth. And we still have disciples today that go in different directions. And it's a natural thing that if you're going to follow someone, you will be labeled as a disciple. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So as a disciple, we're going to yearn for what our leader has to say, and we are going to yearn to follow after him as our leader. Now, being a disciple also means that we are going to abide in his teaching. In the book of 2 John and verse 9, John says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So we must learn not only to follow him, but we must learn to abide in him, to abide by the things which he tells us and teaches us. Following Jesus means safety, mainly because he has promised to be in our presence. You know, one of my favorite verses of the Bible is the great commandment or the great commission that is found in Matthew 28, beginning with verse 20. And in the latter part of verse 20, it says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, this is Jesus, of course, speaking to his disciples before he went back into heaven. And he's trying to tell them, first of all, you go into all the world and you preach this gospel that I have given to you, to everyone. But don't be afraid. You're not alone. You can go safely. I will be with you, and I will be with you always. Following Jesus knows that we are safe from distress. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And are not one in, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. God is going to care for us. God is going to keep us safe anywhere we are in life because it's a promise that he has made to us. He also will deliver us out of the hands of our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, which is a part of the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, beginning in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. So part of that safety means that he is going to protect us from our enemies. And he just said so right here. He will deliver us from temptation. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also will make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So he delivers us from temptation, not through the fact that we will not be tempted. We will all be tempted. But we will never be tempted beyond that which we are able to handle. And God will always see to it that there is a way out. And that is so important for us to know as his children. Not only that, Jesus will make intercession for us, intercession to God for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Hebrew writer says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Basically, what these verses are telling us is there is no fear in Christ. We are safe in Christ. You know, John, 1 John 4, verse 18, says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. This is simply telling us that God is always, always looking out for us. And he always offers us safety wherever we are, as long as we remain in him. Second verse, I am not alone. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me. He is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over drearest ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in situations maybe like the Apostle Paul, where others really do forsake us. Others really do turn their back on us and no longer are with us. You know, we read about Paul's situation in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he seems to feel alone and he seems to feel forsaken. Verse 9 beginning, it says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens and For Galatia and Titus, for Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Can't you just feel that sense of loneliness in the voice of the Apostle Paul as he pens these words? Now, Demas is the one who has left God. Demas is the one who has forsaken Paul and is a worker for the Apostle Paul. Crescens and Titus have simply gone to other places to do work. Now, let's jump down to verses 14 and 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. And then it is verse 16, where Paul really seems to feel alone. He said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. I don't know if you have ever felt this kind of loneliness or not, but we have all been forsaken in our lives at one time or another and probably felt all alone. But you know, Paul experienced something else that was also very devastating to him. He also experienced impending doom. Now, I don't know if anybody in this room has ever experienced impending doom or not. But let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, this is a very familiar passage to all of us, isn't it? And when we read this passage of Scripture, it makes us smile. Because when we read this, we look at this as a happy occasion. Because Paul is going home to be with his Lord. And that's how we present this verse. And the other verses before it that says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me into that day. And not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. And we read those verses and we read them with joy because Paul is going home to the Father. But do you know what is actually happening here when these words are penned? Do you know what is actually about to take place in the life of the Apostle Paul at this point in time? Paul is about to be beheaded. Now, I don't care what kind of faith you have. This can't be something that someone would actually look forward to. Yes, Paul knows that his life is short. It is quickly coming to an end. And he is going to get to go home with the Father. He knows that. But look at how it's going to happen. This can't be a happy thought in the mind of the Apostle Paul that his head is about to be removed from his body. I mean, you know, would you sit there with a smile on your face if you knew that this was about to happen to you? Think for a moment of Jesus Christ before the cross. In Luke 22, verses 41 and 42, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane to his heavenly Father, and no, he does not have a smile on his face. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then on down in verse 44, it says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, does this sound like somebody who is happy? This is why he came. He came to go to that cross. He came to die there. He knew exactly what he was coming for. And now the time has come. And now he's literally begging, God, let's do this a different way. Don't make me do this. And he's sweating drops of blood because he is so disturbed because of this. But he's about to go home to the Father. This is about to be all over with. Why isn't he jumping for joy? It was a time of doom and gloom for both Paul and for Christ here. Let me tell you something, friends. The dreariest days of your life may still be ahead. Because we don't have a time machine to look ahead in time to see what's ahead of any of us, do we? And you know, David realized this, and he wrote Psalms chapter 63 because of it. And in verse 1, he said, "O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Now, you know, you read that verse and you go on and read all the rest of chapter 63, and you may think, well, David is just writing a song here. This is just a song, and he's using words and symbolism. No, he wasn't. David found himself in the wilderness of Judea when he wrote Psalm 63. King Saul was after him at this time. King Saul was trying to kill him at this time. This was not a happy time for David. He was running for his life. He was fearful for his life. And that's when he penned this chapter. But here's the point. God was with him. And David knew that. "Oh God, you are my God. I know that you're with me. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. I know you are ever here." God is with us. Even when we face our most dreariest moments in life. And listen to the Apostle Paul because of this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to men." Listen to this next part now. "The Lord is at hand." You know what that "hand" means? That means the Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. He is here. He is with us. Even in our most dreariest moments of life, He stands by us to support us and to be with us. And Paul says we can express great joy in the fact that we are not alone. That's what this song is telling us. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. He is going to be with me. And that is so important for us to understand. Stanza number 3. Whether you're over land or whether you're over sea. Anywhere with Jesus over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. Ready as He summons me to go or stay. Anywhere with Jesus when He points the way. Let me tell you something, my friends. A lot of people don't look at it this way. But this great commission that was given to us by Jesus shortly before He ascended into heaven, it was for you and for me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It was not for the preacher only. It was not for the missionary only. It was for Farron Hamner, the Christian, whether I preach a word or not. It's my responsibility to do this. The Great Commission is for all. After all, it is God's power to save, isn't it? At least this is what Paul said in Romans 1:16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." But yet this commission, this great message that the world needs to hear, it must be preached. It must be delivered to the world. And you and I are the voice of God in doing this. Now, we have it on paper, don't we? Yes, we do. And we all carry the book that has it in it. But what good is that book if nobody opens it up? Or what good is that book if someone don't open it up and share it with someone else? It is your responsibility and mine to carry out this great commission that God has given to us. And we have been summoned by God to carry it out. And He will be with us as we do so. Last stanza. I can go to sleep. Anywhere with Jesus, I can go to sleep. When the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken never more to roam, anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. You know, this tells me two things. Number one, you and I today, sitting here in this auditorium, can go home tonight if we are a child of God and we can pillow our head with a restful sleep because of who we are. We have a benefit and a blessing from our God above that allows us to sleep gently at night because we are His child. Now, this verse also tells us something else. I can go and pillow my head tonight and sleep. And even if I don't awake the next morning, Jesus is going to be with me. This anywhere that the song is talking about just might include all the times of fear in our lives, and it might also include the fear of death. So many people pillow their head at night and never awake. But we need to know that even in death, Jesus is with us. And will be with us. Jesus tells us in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And then I love these next words, which come from Jesus in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Anywhere with Jesus, I can go to sleep. Anywhere with Jesus, my heart doesn't have to be troubled. Because I know my God. And I know how He loves me. And I know how He cares for me. And I know what He is doing right now for me. He is preparing my mansion. He is preparing my place in His home to live and to be with Him for all eternity. And oh, I can pillow my head here in this lowly cabin, cottage, whatever you want to call it, on this earth. And I can rest peacefully knowing that this is what awaits me. And Jesus is doing it for me. So let me ask you a question, my friends. Are you ready to go with Jesus? Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus in this world below, regardless of what happens to me, regardless of what the world does to me, I can be with Jesus, and He will be with me. The this morning, my friends, if you are not a Christian, I want to tell you that Jesus went to the cross for you. He came to this earth for you and for me. And because he went to that cross, he simply says, follow me. Are you ready to follow him? You can, through your faith in God, through the repentance of your sin, by the change of life that needs to come in your life, for your confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. And you can walk out here today with Jesus. And you can go anywhere with Jesus. And he will be with you all the way. And Christian, anywhere with Jesus is a song of faith and trust. Do you have that faith and trust in your life? Is it still the way it was when you came up out of that watery grave of baptism? Is that strength still there? Is that love still there? Is that faith still there? If not, then you have let something in the world come between you and Jesus. And you need to get rid of it. Because you see, Jesus can't be with you unless you want to be with him. Oh, he will go anywhere with you. He will be with you all the way. But you've got to want him there. And you have to live in such a way to where he will be there. And if your life is not what it needs to be, make your life right so that Jesus will be with you anywhere along the way. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.